IVM.
Hello and welcome to Simplified. We were absolutely inundated with fan mail asking, has our boy reached Canadian shores? Is he safe? Has he, you know, set up his home and everything over there? So fear not, everyone. We have decided to carve out a special episode to give you a Hi Shriket, which follows the Bye Shriket episode that we did a while back. And to simplify things, we are going to talk about how Canada and India are different, how his experience is and all that in this short 1 week span that he's been there. So hello everyone and welcome to Simplified, and here and welcome to a simplified look at an expat in Canada. Welcome.
It's about Canada. I thought it was about Canada.
I was an expat in Canada.
This is why, Tony, this is why I insist on typing things out and not sending voice notes. This is not the first time that this mistake has happened. Oh, so, Shriket, how has it been?
Yeah, so, well, it's been cold first, but it's been interesting. Yeah, it's been a really exciting couple of weeks. Very, very uniquely new. And so many things to learn about. Like, I mean, rarely do you get a chance. I mean, to start off only with something little profound, but rarely do you get a chance so late in life to experience so many very new things.
For the first time,
yeah. I'd like kind of be like a kid in a candy store kind of thing for the first time, kind of like just exploring all these new things. So, yeah, it's been what, 10 days since I've been here? 10, 11 days since I've been here. And yeah, it's been pretty exciting. I mean, so many new things to talk about.
Yeah, and we will talk about some of those things. But for me, I'm personally just very happy that you're starting to use Instagram again after goodness knows how many years. It's nice to see that account actually being used or something. So, okay, so let me try to...
yeah, because I'll make a dent in it.
You never know. So you attended theater, you have been for a hockey game, you have got medical insurance, so which again, that puts you much better than all the people who are staying in that country beneath you. Or did I say beneath? I meant below. Sorry. Then you experienced snow.
I experienced snow a lot later than I expected. So let's start with the weather itself. For me, this was particularly a very brand new experience because I had prior to 10 days ago never really experienced like North American winter before, or even like any real winter, honestly. Like, I mean, I had the maximum. Yeah, and I mean, North Indian winter at the very most, the maximum is when I went to, during the summer, I went to Manali and experienced like 0 degrees or 1 degree over there and like, oh, it felt cold, but whatever types. I mean, honestly, that wasn't really as much as I had all the preparation, I had all the gear, I had all the jackets and sweaters, but still doesn't prepare you for that moment when you actually get out and the cold hits your face for the first time. And that was quite a like awakening experience of sorts. And
Wait till you're used to that and you come back and you open the plane open.
Hey, can I ask a personal question of all of you guys? Did any of you own a refrigerator which would have that aluminium freezer which would have, you know, the ice sort of forming on its sides?
Yeah. Frosting refrigerators.
Did any of you sort of scrape those, make them into balls and throw them at your sister and call it snow fights and get yelled at by your moms? Just asking for a friend.
Oh my God.
Okay. Oh, man.
The one burning question that is on everybody's lips is, did you meet any important Canadians like Jim Carrey or Akshay Kumar?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I ain't saying nothing, baby.
Well, unfortunately, not so far. Although I have met a lot of Akshay Kumar's kin around here. And... that is, because this place is basically, Yeah, not skin. Skin also. I mean, majority, most of the people around here are my skin anyway. So, yeah, but no, but the thing is, it's been, so I mean, as far as the cold is concerned, when I landed, since for the last 9 days, it's actually been unseasonably warm, which was actually good for me because it got me a little bit, like, gave me a little bit of time to acclimatize to the severe cold because I was freezing and everyone's like, oh, it's very warm. So,
you saw some people jogging in shorts and things.
So. Yeah, no, I mean, it was, so it was legitimately, I mean, since I've landed, the temperature hasn't been over like 7 degrees. 7 degrees is the maximum it's gone to. And, and when it was like around 3 or 4 degrees plus, I saw a guy like jogging with a vest and shorts. With his dog.
Wow.
So
badass.
I was like, damn. And like, there's plenty of like people who are like, ha, theek hai. I mean, when I'm like freezing over here, like covered in like this Eskimo jacket and walking around, like this thing, the people who are like comfortably wearing one thin puffer jacket and walking around. So those are like the seasoned Canadians, I'm assuming. But yeah, since yesterday, it's been a little, I mean, yesterday, finally, it properly snowed down. We had a small snowstorm and yesterday it snowed down a little. So I experienced snow for the first time yesterday. Properly outside. What I mean, it was nice and all, but it was very wet. so yeah, I mean, basically, first reactions wet, extremely wet.
Because the moment, it's not that romantic notion of the snow that we have. It's like a winter paradise. People building snow.
No, it is nice. Oh. It looks nice. It's basically like I mean, it's like you think about it like it's Amiro ka barish. Right, you say garibo ka whatever, na? That's why Amiro ka barish.
Have you heard about this guy named David Sinclair?
No.
Feels like I should.
David Sinclair.
Feels like I should.
yeah. So he.
No. Please don't remind us of that.
So David Sinclair. So David Sinclair is into longevity research.
Okay. Right?
So he feels and borne out by law. It's a terrific YouTube channel, and you know, I really recommend all our listeners should give it a look. He believes that the person, the human being who live 150 years has been born already. So, you know. So one of the things is to have a very cold water bath, like 0 degree. Shock, it's called thermal shock or something like that. So you go out and you, and what it's supposed to do is it's supposed to increase something called brown fat inside you. And this is supposed to be really good for everything. So, of course, I don't see the purpose of actually living long if you have to keep taking ice baths like that. But do you plan to do that?
No, yeah. But I actually, so you're very right. I mean, a friend of mine, I actually recently went and met another friend over here who has done this. It's called the Polar Plunge over here. And so this guy, like, actually, so basically they go and like, it's a hole in the middle of ice lake kind of thing. They dig out a hole and then basically you go and dip yourself in that and stay underwater for about like 10, 15 seconds. And then you get out and it looks horrifyingly cold, but apparently it is, I mean, yes, there is a shock that comes like when you're going in the water, but apparently like your body quickly acclimatizes, it gets very cold. I mean, you'll get hypothermia if you stay there for very long, but once you get out, apparently it's like, that's one surefire way of negating the cold outside. Like once he got out, he was like, I felt very warm outside. So yeah, I mean, that's one thing that a lot of people do. And yes, I have not done my research on the thing, but it apparently does have a lot of health benefits for doing that occasionally. And
it's quite popular in Scandinavia. I've seen a few.
I've seen videos. You have an opportunity. You'll be the first simplified host to reach 150.
For sure. I mean, at the end of the day,
simplified is anything to go by, you will live 150 years for several years to get.
That's the whole point is, I mean, if you have to do multiple polar plunges to live up to 150, is it even worth it? So
worth
that is also the question.
Serious question.
The one thing that really kind of like nobody prepares you for is how much you have to get dressed up before you can leave the home. Like in India, like put on a t-shirt and all that stuff and you leave the house.
Yeah.
Like if you told me right now that I have to go out, it'll take me at least 15 minutes before I'll be ready to go out. Like irrespective of wherever I'm going, because The whole point is like, not only do you have to wear
and
like
that's without the usual makeup that you put on.
Oh yeah, that for sure. Yeah, you have a whole checklist that you have to do to go out with. Otherwise, you will get like, otherwise you'll be freezing at one part of your body somewhere. Like one day, I forgot to wear my long johns, what are called basically the innards inside your pants, and you forget to wear that, so you're warm on your torso, but then your knees are freezing. So yeah, so you have to kind of like layer up a lot, and people get faster at it, I'm assuming, but right now it takes me about 20 minutes to get ready. So
that's okay. You're a strategic planner, so layering things is something that you're quite used to. So let's anyway talk about, you found a Canadian Liverpool bastion. So tell us about that.
I did. So it's actually a pub. I mean, the one great thing that I found is like the pub culture here is, it's like the pub culture that we have heard of, like the fabled pub cultures of how like you just go at a pub and everybody knows you and you sit down over there and you get your usual drink and like, and you're allowed and you're able to watch the match. And one thing is like, no, there's no entry fee or cover charge and all that shit. Like you just get into the pub and you go and watch the match. So yeah, there's a pub right around the corner actually from my house, which is where the Liverpool matches happen. I didn't realize it was so close. So yeah, I mean, I've already experienced a couple of matches, and including one match I really wish I did not experience. For reference, Liverpool just recently got walloped 5-2 by Real Madrid, but we're quickly moving past that. But yeah, I've watched a couple of matches.
What time do the matches happen for you?
Yeah, so that's another interesting part. Right now the matches, so if it's 1:30 right now, all the matches that I've experienced mostly are happening at around 1:30 at night in India, and they're happening at 3 o'clock in the afternoon over here. So
I guess.
Yeah, it's actually, afternoons are the best time you want to step out because they are the warmest times. So you can like actually walk around, there'll be a little sun and there'll be like nice and whatever. And plus you go for lunch and you watch the match, and it's a very different experience to watching matches in India and Malaysia, because Malaysia was even later and India was also like late. So matches were always like late in the evening. Here it's all early, either early in the afternoon or mid-afternoon. The only thing is Champions League matches were, I mean, at the moment I am currently unemployed, so I could go at like at 3 p.m. on a Wednesday and go and watch a match. But otherwise they're like in the middle of your work day kind of thing.
So you are, you have moved to both like KL and Canada. How have those two, how do you compare those two experiences? How are cultural differences between make benefit glorious podcasters. It's a long walk. It's a really long walk to get to that one.
No, but yeah, I mean, I'd say we did a similar podcast for Malaysia, didn't we, when I was leaving, I think.
We are masters at turning personal Zoom conversations into content.
Yeah, but like Malaysia, again, I mean, to be very honest, there wasn't as much of a, I won't say culture shock, but like, a feeling that I was in a very, very different place than India. Like, it wasn't really as profound, because like the moment I landed, the weather is kind of similar. The first thing, the weather is really similar. Sure. Then afterwards you get out and like, I mean, you're around a lot of brown people, around a lot of Asian people who have a lot of similar sensibilities roughly. There's a lot of parallels in those cultures and the way those cultures work. So there were things that were very different, but also extremely similar, and like things that make you feel very comfortable. But the one thing, the biggest difference I'd say over here to Malaysia was to Malaysia, the biggest difference I'd say is, I mean, the weather obviously, but beyond that, it's like the aspect of how open and how multicultural the society is in every which way. Like one thing, even in the time that I've been here, the people, like Malaysia is multicultural unto itself, but here it's not just multicultural, I'd say pluralistic, because like in the time that I've been here, I've seen like people who are openly gay, flamboyantly gay, trans people, like just like out in public. You don't really see that in like Asian cultures per se, or like accepted per se. Like when I was going for the Liverpool match, I was sitting next to a trans person. I was watching the match. I had a conversation with them, and like generally like, and they were like, yeah, they're dressed up. They're on their regular this thing, watching the match and having a good time. And like you generally don't get those experiences in Asia as such. So I'd say one aspect of it being as pluralistic as it was, I mean, so far my experience has been still very limited. Of course, I'm not saying that this is like a utopia of acceptance in any which way. Obviously, there are problems with this country as well. But just generally seeing that a lot more, that's something I didn't see in either India or Malaysia. But over that, I'd say the other big aspect that is very different over here is, dude, it's hilarious how important being polite is over here. So I have
the Canadian stereotypes are true.
It's actually true. Yeah. I kid you not. So like,
do you have to say thank you to the ATM? Do you have to say thank you to the
ATM? But like, what'll they do if you're not polite to them? They'll be rude to you. They can't.
No, they won't be rude to you. What happened?
Canadians actually thank ChatGPT.
No, but it was actually quite like a very funny experience. So I was going through, I was trying to get my metro card and like refill some money on the metro card. And there was a longer line and I was waiting for this streetcar, which I had to catch to go ahead and whatever. So I was in a bit of a hurry, right? So I obviously, because when Indians get into a hurry, all politeness goes out of the window. So like, I was like, whatever. And then I literally put my card on the thing and I was like, $50 on this. And then I was like, I was ready to get out or whatever. And the guy just looks at me and he's like, it's okay, dude. You've got time. And he looks at me, just gives me that piercing stare. Okay. He didn't say anything. And then I was like, I'm so sorry. Can you please load some money on this for me? And then I was like, oh shit. And like, I actually saw this and I was speaking to another friend as well. And they're like, yeah, I mean, it doesn't cost you much. But like, if you don't say please and thank you, like even if you don't drop a tip, right? But if you don't say please and thank you at the end of it, like they'll actually like give you the stink eye or they'll kind of like, they won't really come and confront you for being rude. At least most people don't. But yeah, politeness is valued a lot here. Like you have to kind of have please and thank you. And you're like, thank you so much for doing this for me. Or like kind of walking away from someone who's given you something or help you out with something. Or if you like accidentally brush someone on the street. Like I was walking and this dude was walking around and didn't see me. And he kind of bumped into me. And he's like, I'm so sorry, man. And like that was like Elphinstone Road every day, right? So he's like, no. Like he's paused and he's like, are you okay? Did I drop anything of yours? And he's like, no. And like, I mean, the politeness is very palpable. Although while that politeness is there, there is also a level of like, I mean, it's polite, but also extremely formal. Like people want to talk about, like when I was talking to this other person, when I was at that pub, when I was talking about stuff, another aspect that came across to me was they want to talk about like general stuff. Like the person was very open to talking about like the game and all that stuff, but also got very uncomfortable when I asked them their name or where they stay and stuff like that. So they were like extremely comfortable opening up about everything that is in the moment. But like the moment I asked that, I felt them stiffen up a little. And that's where I realized that they are also extremely private people. Like having a conversation means having a conversation about stuff, not about themselves. And unless like you know them better or whatever, so Indians tend to get like,
hey, have you noticed this? Like basically like India is built for efficiency, right? Like there are too many of us and we have to like, we don't have time for pleasantries and stuff. Like I don't remember where it was, but like in a couple of instances, I've like gotten really mad when I was in a country other than India and they don't understand how to queue efficiently, right? So there will be these like 10 counters and let's say you're like, an usher is supposed to tell you which counter to go to.
Yeah.
Right. And like this guy basically like put me at the end of one queue and I'm like, listen, that one's shorter. Can I not go over there? It's like, no, you have to stand here. And then basically like he put a bunch of us here and then he opened a fresh counter and he pulled people from the back of the queue and sent them there. And I'm like, my sense of like efficient fairness from India was completely outraged. So I think, have you seen this anywhere?
Yeah, not exactly seen this thing per se, but I've seen like a related thing in the sense that, so when you need to do stuff, like when you have like, the one thing is again with medicine over here, like socialized medicine over here, right? Sometimes you need to see a specialist, you have to wait for an appointment. And sometimes that waiting for a specialist appointment, depending on how dire your emergencies, can be as long as 6 months or something like that, right? So,
whoa, I mean, six months.
Yeah. It can take that long to see a specialist. If you want to see a specialist and it's not an emergency, then you can have to wait 6 months for
good heavens.
They'll tell you, they'll give you a
your condition has by then gotten an engineering degree and given up on it and like become a freelance copywriter somewhere. And
let's assume that if it's an emergency, you get to see them quicker.
Yeah, you get to see. I mean, they do the triage and they say, okay, it's not that urgent.
So,
and all that stuff.
But birth control failures are checked out in the delivery is what, right? So Hey, you know, oh, wow.
that took a dark turn. But yeah, like, no, so I mean, obviously you get a lot of the regular medicines over the counter at pharmacies and stuff like that. But and you want to get checked out for a regular stuff with a family doctor, you can get that immediately. But a specialist appointment can take a bit of time. But anyway, coming to the point that you were talking about, Tony, the thing about the queuing thing. So when you get your appointment with a specialist, for example, right? It's perfectly normal to go and take a day off for that. Like, you can just tell your employer that, boss, I've got a specialist appointment today.
Yeah.
I'm taking the day off because, like, God alone knows when it'll come again.
I can't wait 6 months.
So I'm going. So the thing is, along, like, with those, like, that kind of stuff, if you have got to get stuff done, a lot of people, right, they tend to, like, take the day off and get stuff done, right? And a lot of people assume, like, if you're grocery shopping in the middle of a work day, nobody's going to be like, acha, you're shopping in your lunch break, so let me get you the stuff quickly and, like, have you move along. Everyone's working at their own pace, right? So if you have to get it done quickly, buy fewer things, get on, check the line yourself and get into it. And the other thing is, I don't know where you went, where you got an usher. There are no ushers. Nobody's paying an usher to usher anyone in a line anywhere, right? So you figure out which line has got a lesser queue and you go and stand in that line, right? I mean, this is the first world. There are no ushers. Nobody's got money to pay a lift man, for example.
I have this anecdote about rudeness, right? So this probably happened in Canada. So this guy, probably an Indian guy, comes, he barges in and he wants to know where the urinal is. So he just, you know, without exchanging any pleasantries, says, where is the urinal? He says, so that guy is very politely, he says, down the corridor, sir, you will find a door marked gentleman. Ignore the sign and go right in.
Yeah, wow. That's very Canadian. Like, that's what they find, yeah, like, interesting, unique ways to make you real. Like, for example, like, there's another thing about tipping, right? Which is also a big thing over here. Like, you are Canadians are really good tippers. Like, apparently they tip out of compulsion. Like, standard North American tipping rate right now is around 15%. Canadians regularly tip 18% to up to 20%. Right. So
do they have GST also on top of that?
Yeah. On top there's GST. So when you see a tag for anything on sale over here, right, the price never includes taxes. All right. So taxes are above that. Tip is also above that. So if you see something for $50, that will cost you at least 60 to 65 bucks. Right. So, like, dollars, wow. This is. So, yeah, this is, it's a whole adjustment that you have to kind of get to. But, yeah, so once, what happens is over here, you have to tip well. But then I was like, okay, Canadians are good tippers. Canadians are also polite. If you don't tip, they won't confront you because they're too polite. So how does that work? And the simple thing is, they just come and stand over you and smile at you while you are clicking in the tip and all that stuff. So, I mean, you can't, like, look at their face. I mean, unless you're a heartless bastard, you can look at their face and, like, tip them nothing. So I'm, like, looking and smiling and they'll be like, sir, did you enjoy our service? And I was like, yeah, sure. And then you click in your tip and then you're like, I'm sorry, I'm still Indian. I'm only going to tip 15%. And then you walk out. There's nothing else that you can do.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, they've designed the systems in such a way that you have to stare at your server while you're tipping. So, So then you automatically end up tipping, like, properly. But the service, honestly, I mean, there are very specific cultural, like, there's a whole dance around how the tipping thing works. So if you're taking food away, you're not expected to tip, right? But if you're eating in, and if there's someone who's serving you, then tip is expected, right?
Because a service has been rendered.
So, and the thing is, and you know that service has been rendered, right? Like, when you're taking stuff away, you're, like, literally, like, it's an automated process that food is almost getting to you in some way or the other, and with minimal human interaction. There's someone working in the kitchen, they're just shoving the stuff outside and whatever. There's a hi, hello, and take your food and go away. But when you're getting served, like, you actually know, and, like, they make sure that you know that you're being served so that there's at least a subtle communication that, hey, a tip is expected at this point of time. So that's a whole dance that I'm still learning.
Does this extend to agency life? Will clients tip planners?
Well, doubt it.
If
anyone's getting tipped, if anyone's not going to get tipped, it's probably the planners. Like, I doubt planners are ever going to get tipped for anything.
Damn it.
So, yeah,
what about the food? Like, how's maple syrup?
Oh, yeah. So,
have you dipped into their strategic reserve yet?
So I experienced a few things. First is, actually, I've not still gotten to all the Canadian staples. Although the one thing I did try was poutine. which is a very Montreal, Quebec kind of thing.
And he used to play for Liverpool. No, that is Coutinho. No. Sorry. Carry on.
Oh, my word. Yeah, so poutine is this like cheese fries thing, which is like with the sauce and all that stuff. And it had actually, so the place I went to, they said, sir, the poutine has chicken stock, although you can't taste it. And I was like, okay, let's see how it tastes. So actually, I couldn't taste the chicken at all. So I was like, fine, I'll have it. But it was really good. It was like the sauce and like this thing. And it's a whole thing. You have it with beer and like it's a, when it's cold, it's a whole thing like about all that. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I kid you not, hot chocolate, when it's actually cold, just feels like heaven. I kid you not. Like I've never enjoyed hot chocolate as much as when I was walking outside. It was -4 and I'm drinking hot chocolate and it felt like there's heaven going down my throat. All right. So yeah. So like it truly makes a difference. Like that, it's built for this climate, not for drinking when it's 30 degrees in India. So yeah. I mean that was one thing, but we still haven't had, I mean, I'm planning to go for waffles and pancakes sometime soon with like a couple of friends. And go and truly enjoy the real maple syrup. Although, I mean, you can get original Canadian maple syrup on Big Basket also. So don't be so sad. Yeah. You can just buy that right off. It'll just cost you a bit more.
But then it's 30 degrees here. We won't
understand.
Yeah. No, but you do realize that most of the places are indoors, and indoors it's also about 25 degrees. So I'm not wearing this t-shirt inside while it's, right now it's -17 outside. So that would not work. So it's snowing outside actually.
Like, do the windows open?
No.
Can you accidentally leave one open?
Yeah, you could.
Wow, now we're getting down to real brass tacks over here. Yeah. We've gone from like culturally how we're different to when.
Can I just say, it's
probably a good way to get divorced like, also, right?
Yeah.
So, open the window and just forget to close it.
Correct. I'm very, very worried about windows now because I guess you guys saw it. Last week, I stay on the 30th floor in Mumbai.
Yeah.
And a freaking monkey came into my kitchen, man.
Yeah, I saw that.
What the hell? And you know, like the most disturbing part of the whole thing was how calm the monkey was and how freaked out I was. And it had no effect on the monkey whatsoever. So now I'm like.
You wonder who's evolved, right? Who's evolved from whom, right? What?
Yeah. And the designated window shutdowner in my house.
On that note of stray animals, are there like stray elk walking the roads of Canada? Of
Toronto? There's a moose in your hair,
dude. moose in my head. No, I think that's pretty moose free at the moment. Although I have seen a lot of, I mean, certain animals which you don't really see in India or Asia per se, which is like, I just saw like a raccoon running around and I've never seen a raccoon in my life, right? So you saw a raccoon and then you see like black, big squirrels.
Gentlemen.
Huge squirrels, okay? Like these huge squirrels with big bushy tails. And then I walk down to the harbor front and you see those, I mean, the painting ducks, the ducks that you only see in paintings, those green ones. The green ones.
Oh, yeah.
You actually see them in the lake
shoot,
over
right?
here.
The ones you shoot in that game.
The first video game we all played.
Those actually swim
game.
In the lake out there. So, yeah. So, I mean, those are, I think, mallard ducks or something they're called. So, I mean, those ducks, I mean, I saw those ducks over there. So,
they're just being polite. They're going, mallard.
Isn't it a reaction? Krish Ashok is very fond of it. No? He keeps saying mallard reaction in every...
Malleard reaction. That's when you take that duck and like put some render the fat. Okay.
And then give it to a judge. So it'll become mallard, mylard, and mylord. All
of them.
In mallard.
In mallard. Perfect. Oh God, that's a t-shirt slogan.
Oh, wow. That is a statement that has never been spoken before. Pretty sure of that.
see, simplified. Going where ChatGPT never dares.
Yeah, so...
tell us about snack foods. What have you... In the absence of kakra, what are you eating? Is there pani puri on the streets? Or are they uncivilized beasts?
No, there is no pani puri on the streets. Although there are plenty of Indian grocery stores where you pretty much get everything. Like, there's a DIY... Haldiram's has a DIY pani puri kit, by the way. Wow. Which you can
buy. Let's back up and break down each of that. What you said. DIY... Haldiram's DIY station. what is it and why do we not have it here?
So it's basically a box. It's a DIY. Okay. So you can buy it in a grocery store. It's a big box. The box has like, it's got a packet of puri in it. It's got all the masalas there. So you basically mix the masalas and you make the chutneys and you basically have DIY pani puri at home, right? So you could buy that out of a grocery store and have pani puri at home. But yeah, you don't have pani puri vendors on the site because I doubt frozen pani puri has much appeal. So
I was thinking that the Canadian Health Bureau might have a thing or two to say about the secret ingredient called
love. I think before the Health Bureau, the health of the pani puri vendor might worry me a lot more. So
there is no street food in Canada. Is it because there are no streets in Canada?
There are plenty. There's a lot of street food in Canada. Actually, there's a lot of hot dog. Like, it's like North America, right? Hot dog vendors. Yeah. There's fries. Certain areas where you can get falafels and shawarmas and all that stuff and fries. And some places have poutine as well in like some of those lanes and all that stuff. I still haven't explored all of this. Because most of it is not vegetarian, which is also another thing that I need to look out for, unlike any of you fellows. So, but I mean, the one thing that I was presently surprised about is it's easier to get vegetarian food in any restaurant you walk into here than in Malaysia.
This I am not surprised by, actually.
Like, they understand what vegetarian is. They have vegan differentiation. Every restaurant, I kid you not, like you go to a steakhouse also, you'll get vegetarian food in there. Right.
Yeah, and
like every single place has like vegetarian, vegan options. They will customize it for you. They will understand what you want. Like, because everyone has allergies over here. So they're anyway used to customizing about everything.
Oh, that's nice.
So like they will customize anything for you as long as you're. So my favorite place already is like this. I have a place where I get ramen, and that ramen place is just heaven. Like I get like vegetarian ramen over there. And it's like, it's cheap and it's great ramen and it's very hot, and it's hot ramen soup when it's like freezing, snowing outside is again heaven. So like great ramen you get, and all cuisines. So basically all cuisines in the world, like plus vegetarian options. So you can get like a lot of great stuff everywhere. So that way though,
I'm chicken ramen also.
And that's yeah, of course you place. Do. Of course you do. Of course you do. Ah, there,
then you can call it. Yeah, chicken. So you can call it CV ramen because it will be chicken and veg ramen.
Wow.
No, just a thought. You can suggest it to them.
I doubt. Wow. Not quite sure what to say.
What? Where? How did that get there? Oh my god. Yeah, but
but as everyone knows the famous story about CV Raman when he won the Nobel Prize and others tried to get him to drink, they said, and Naren no doubt has his quote tattooed on his back, "We've seen the Raman effect on alcohol, now let's see the alcohol effect on Raman." By the way, this is a true story. Stop nursing your temple. Blame physicists of the
1930s. Stop nursing your temple is not a
What's the alcohol scene? What's the alcohol scene? Do you have to stand in like a TASMAC?
Alcohol is pretty much craft. Available everywhere. I mean, and craft alcohol as well. Like it's, I mean, I've already
craft
had a
couple alcohol. Of, I like.
Yeah, so I mean, craft beer and stuff like that. Like, craft alcohol in the sense that there's gin, craft gin places, there's craft like liqueur places and all different kinds of stuff, which I've not still fully explored. I mean, I've been here 10 days, but the couple of pubs that I went to, especially to watch the Liverpool match, like, I got a really nice red beer of sorts, which was very interesting to drink. I don't know what it had, but I didn't really look that up. It was an IPA, it was a red IPA. And the other thing that obviously, I mean, for me right now, first thing that I went and tried was the Guinness over here, which is the Guinness draft, which is poured out of a, not in a bottle, Guinness like poured out of a keg, which is the true way to have Guinness, not the heathen way to have Guinness. But yeah, but anyway, sorry.
Isn't it cool when the bubbles just go down instead of up?
it is actually, yeah. So with Guinness, I mean, it's actually the Guinness by itself as a drink is also, it's actually made for colder countries in the way, because it's a warming drink that's actually quite heavy, you know, like if you have it with you usually pair it with a meal and it is almost like an appetizer, like it's heavy enough to be like that. So if you have a full pint of Guinness, it should keep you going for a little bit type of thing. Yeah, so I mean, had a few other beers. Like I went to this pub around near the harbor front where I had a very interesting lemon shandy thing, which was delightful. Like honestly, the beers here are tasty, unlike India. So
hello. Hello. We will take this conversation.
We are taking umbrage.
Massive umbrage. But anyway, I'm assuming you're spending most of your time intoxicated by other means, which we shall also discuss offline.
I have to tell you the craft alcohol scene in Bombay back in the 70s, 80s, not 70s, but early 80s for sure. Right. So there was a lot of prohibition kind of thing. Prohibition was lifted in Bombay, but still, I mean, it was very difficult. So you would get this hooch brewed by, you know, people. And it was quite okay, I mean, compared to the... So, if you are economically constrained, as students were often, you know, that was often the case. So, you would go to one of these joints. So, the one joint that we used to go to, there was one...
Is this it in
was
Hooch ground, Bihar?
Yeah, Hooch Bihar. Actually, that was a name given, actually, very coincidentally, that was a name given to this place that I'm going to tell you about. So, there was an uncle and auntie, you know, the ground plus one structure. So, the downstairs, his uncle would be sitting and he'll be like smoking BDs or whatever. And then you go and tell uncle. So, there was only, you didn't have choice. Some booze would be there. You would hand the cash and he would sort of look around just to make sure you're not a stool pigeon. You haven't got the coppers and the flat feet. So he would rap in code on the staircase. Rap and code. Auntie would lower as the hooch.
It's not like suddenly dropping a beat. No, it's like.
No.
That'd be amazing. Yeah.
And Auntie would lower the hooch in a basket. And then you take it and then you would put it inside your whatever shirt or whatever and disappear. That was the... And someone actually called it Hooch Bihar at that time.
So, the Hooch Bihar was indeed Hooch was Andar. Bihar, Bahar... No, it didn't work. It sounded better than that. Never mind.
Yeah.
I got a snowball for you guys.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I just got it from my balcony.
It is not from the refrigerator.
No, it's from the outside.
Wow, the real thing.
Canadian snow.
Canadian snow.
It looks dirty, though.
Huh? Yeah,
question.
It's on my balcony, so it's on the floor of my balcony.
What is
I picked it out from. So,
what is Afghan snow? What is Afghan snow?
What is Afghan snow? No idea.
Quiz question.
Yeah. Is this a serious one or a...
It's a serious quiz question. Google it.
Oh, okay.
Afghan...
The winner has to tofa Kabul karo, is it?
What the hell? I know what Afghan dal is, which will be Kabuli chana, but Tony got
back,
ahead.
I don't know if this product is still available. Back in the day, it was a cream that women would apply on their face. I mean, anyone could apply on their faces, but yeah.
Why Afghan?
I have no clue. It was Afghans. It was my mom used to use it, so I know.
Find out on the next episode of Simplified.
So overall, I mean, it's only been 11 days here. I mean, there's a lot more exploration to do. But like I said, the first reactions is like it's a whole new world out here, kind of to explore and to figure out. And yeah, I'm very excited to do that. While I hunt for a job, I mean, the main thing right now is do not come here. Unless you're a new permanent resident and looking for a job, but do not come here unemployed. Otherwise, you will lose money very quickly. So
that's a tip on tips in Canada.
Oh. Yeah, that.
Best. We shall look forward to hearing more updates from you, Shriket. And of course, for Simplified listeners, one massive thing that they should know is that you are braving early mornings in order to do these recordings with us. We traditionally record from 6 to 8 in the evenings. And what's the time right now over there?
It's just become 8 o'clock, I think.
It's 8 o'clock in the morning. So
it's 7:50 in the morning,
in the morning, which I'm assuming is even colder. So thank you for your sacrifice, Shriket.
The temperature doesn't really depend inside the house on what is outside, right? The house is heated.
It's like outside.
The houses are heated, okay. So, I mean, it could be minus 25 outside. It'll still be a balmy 23 degrees inside my apartment. So it's cool. So, yeah. But the thing though is, I'm sitting near the windows and near the windows tend to be a little colder because again, like the windows are cold because... It's
and also did all the trivia that we gave you last time help with the immigration entrance exam?
Well, he made it in.
I kind of made it a point to kind of keep it all out of my mind when I was talking to the immigration officer, so that did help. So
what you should have done is you should have just given him the simplified episode. Like, have you? Yeah. And they're polite, right? They'll sit and listen also 45 minutes.
Correct.
And then all the guys behind, they'll be like, "Why is this queue taking so long?" Like, no, he's listening to a simplified episode.
You've got time, man.
Hang on. You also realized that the queue was full of Indian people. Okay. Nobody had time. The queue was all Indian people because the immigrants are all Indian around here. So yeah. All right. There's no patience there. They are not Canadian either.
So we will look forward to hearing more updates from you, Shriket, as you continue your North American journey. And let's hope you stay in the better part of...
I really like my hashtag, North America.
North America is actually quite nice. Let's keep that going. So, Naren, you know how to end.
Stay safe, stay warm, and stay simplified. See you next week.